Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research. The Sunday Roast presents 12 stocks for the 12 days of Christmas. Merry Christmas, everyone. Thank you for listening.
Twelve stocks for the 12 days of Christmas yet again, and we're joined by Colin Bird, chairman of Extract Resources. You had a good Christmas so far, Colin?
Yes, thank you very much. I have indeed. You too. Have you had a good Christmas?
Been good, yeah. It's been good. I mean, I think you get to the point where you enjoy getting back to the grindstone. You know, that sort of, you go into the twilight zone, don't you, of not knowing what day it is between Christmas and New Year. And it's kind of quite nice to actually see the markets open and sort of start seeing a bit of volume coming through. So it's let's hope that January next year is a good one, because it needs it, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, when you've been hard at it, it's I always seem to be quite good at holidays, but at Christmas there, I'm just itching for it to get, as you say, to get back into action. Watching Bloomberg last night, should have been watching Phantom of the Opera, but watching Bloomberg. And there seems to be a lot of talk about what those guys are in, and, you know, what natural resources, you know, your lithiums, your copper, and they seem to be very, in fact, it was almost waking up to the need for these metals to be discovered, and recommendations for stocks which are in this space, small and big for that matter. So yes, it looks, if that's anything to go by, Bloomberg last night, we might be poised for a good opening.
Let's talk Extract then. 2021, what a year it's been. There's been some great results. And obviously, towards the end of the year, you announced the discovery of the second porphyry in Ascot. Do you want to talk us about some of the highlights for you?
Yeah, well, you know, we bought this project for £1.25 million worth of Extract shares. Why did we buy it? And, you know, my sanity was questioned. I think, why on earth, you know, being so sort of Africa dominant, why on earth would we go off to Australia with very little history of going? And when I saw 71 million tonnes at 0.44, York 2012, in a big porphyry district, I thought that's something I've got to get. And, you know, put my skates on and talked. Didn't go anywhere when I say put my skates on, because obviously got COVID-19, I wasn't going anywhere. But we got it, and we got a nice deal. We inherited 71 million tonnes of ore there in York Resource. We also inherited quite a good team, Dr. Quinton Hills and Jeremy Reed, two very, very good geophysicists, geologists, project managers and managers in general. And then off we went. We drilled that long hole, you know, and I think it went the best part of 1,100 metres and weighed in at about 0.35. I'm talking off the top of my head now, you know, but the order of magnitude was right. 1,100 metres is right. I think 0.35 is right. And that was a very good hole. And we called this thing phase one. It was phase one, I suppose, because it was a start. But now, then we had to take some really shots in the dark. No better way of putting it, shots in the dark, across the width of it. And I made many, you know, we had quite a bit of amusement on various podcasts about comparing it to onions, you know, peeling the onions off. We talked about inclined cigars. And so, you know, I was doing my best to make the layman understand and to assist the layman to understand. And, but, you know, if you go back to that onion and the porphyry is in the middle there, We didn't know whether we were shooting for the outer skins. We didn't know we were shooting for the bad bit at the top. We didn't know if we were in the core. So we stuck down another six holes. And quite frankly, they were sort of modest, average, but all of them great, some great. And, you know, big runs of mineralization. And whilst we were doing this, towards the end of doing this, we ran a big geophysics program. So the long hole plus the reasonable mineralization we received from the first batch of holes gave us the confidence to go into a phase two program, which we said would be 15,000 meters. Then, as we were doing geophysics and we were sort of doing planning for the phase two, if you like, we got out of the data and ran it with an independent company. to just see how open-pittable we were, and it could be. And we got a nice surprise back, and we applied some hypothetical extensions and the rest of it. This demonstrated categorically that you know, that there was a potential for a pit. And I think the best pit we came up with what we got at that stage was, you know, 9 years at 20 million ton a year. Now, who's going to go 9 years? A lot of capital investment to mine 20 million ton a year. And those mines have got to go for 20 years. So then we started working on our alternatives, 12, 15,000 tons, to find out which was the optimal tonnage for that pit. And the pit went down to 600 meters at the hypothesis. Let's call it a conceptual pit. And we liked what we saw, and we got two or three cases which actually were positive NPVs. So that gave us, together with the geophysics, the impetus, if you like, to go to this phase two, and we raised money in the market. Concurrent with that, or just at the tail end of it, we recognized that pyrrhotite was in the body. Pyrrhotite is magnetic. And to help us even more, shouldn't we fly a drone and see where the magnetics, where the low resistivities were coincident? So pyrrhotite and chalcopyrite, that would very much guide our drilling program. It was speculative, you know, that decision was fairly speculative, because the question has to be asked, was the magnetic signature subtle enough to identify it in the general noise of the geophysics? Glad to say it is subtle enough. So off we went and started our phase two, and result after result after result all came in positive. And we certainly put a few holes in the conceptual open pit. We found there was a crown which dominated the, not dominated, but was certainly influential in the better grades. We got this pit heading northwest, southeast, and we set about confirming, shall we say, that initial prognosis of, shall we say, you know, the 180 million, 20 million tons, 20 million tons of year for 9 years or whatever, you know, whichever you divide into about 180. And the northwest opened up, the southeast opened up, and such was the program that if you imagine an open pit, we jump the walls each end. The northwest has gone beyond the limits of what we would be the conceptual open pit. I think that's probably closing down now, and we probably get a couple of hundred meters more if we're lucky on the northwest. And the southeast continued to be thick, continued to extend, and obviously went beyond the walls, the southern wall of what would have been the open pit extremity. And then towards the end of this program, it appeared to us that the southern end of the pit, if you like, was swinging, if not due south, even a little bit southwest. And so we started to position our holes with that in mind. And that seems to have worked out too. So the pit is completely open-ended as far as we're concerned now to the south. We've gone well beyond the bounds of the open pit, conceptual open pit. And whilst we can't do modeler contained copper, we can contain tons of rock. And so we seem to be comfortable in the range of 400 to 600 million tons of rock and growing.
What level of copper do you expect from the 400 to 600 million tons of rock?
Well, that's going to be driven largely by grade. I think we're probably, what seems to be the international practice now, is between 0.1 and 0.15. We'll put all the data in the computer, in the model, and out of that will come a tons times grade time, which of course will equal copper tons.
On previous podcasts, we've talked about grades between 0.3 and 0.4, I think, in this whole scheme, as a standard.
That's right. And depending which cutoff you apply, of course. And I suspect we'll be applying a cutoff of 0.15, which seems to be vogue for the area.
If the end game here is to reach or to get to a point where you trigger this Anglo buyback option that's obviously been talked about a lot, I think it's where a deposit of greater than 2 million tons of contained copper is sort of proven up. there's a lot of holes been sunk this year, and there's obviously a lot of assay results due from 31 and 35 as well, I believe. How far do you feel you are away from reaching this kind of this magic figure?
Well, you know, I've got a personal, what's the word, wish or dream. I don't think it's a dream. Certainly better than a dream, and it's a wish that the 2 million tons and the decision to mine are concurrent. You know, that this first conceptual open pit will take us where we want to be. And I, you know, just we have to be beyond, on, or close to that number. The biggest single event, of course, why would I call it the biggest single event? Pretty important event. Was it the beginning of December when we reported end of November that we tested the geophysics where there was that big lobe, let's call it a lobe, of pretty interesting geophysics. We tested it with two holes, which were, if you like, I'm going to say like luster, both of them went through mineralization. But then we hit what I'd call a proper hole, where you've got a long runs of mineralization with moderate to strong chalcopyrite copper mineralization. So now, instead of having this conceptual pit where one wonders whether you'll get to 2 million ton, one feels fairly confident you will. But, you know, you've now discovered, which we've called Ascot, you know, to stay on the theme of racing, we've now discovered Ascot, which is another very large system, which could be as big as a bigger deposit as Racecourse. So you've got Ascot now running for you, Racecourse as well. That could be its 2 million ton in its own right, in one single pit. And then, of course, we've got this Ascot, which we've put three holes in, and one of it, what you would call conventional porphyry, where we understand all of the rocks we've got and what they mean to us. So the next plan is, of course, to get reference points so you can plan a prep program. It's difficult to, you know, when you're talking of porphyry, plunge, dip, strike means something quite different, and orientation of the and direction planning of drills is not quite as easy. But having it, we know now that we're in a porphyry system. We know that we're possibly two systems there. So the next thing is to drill some more boreholes, and then your question becomes a little bit redundant, Phil, because 2 million tons could be in the race courts alone, and then you're into a whole new porphyry, which is, one looks at the geophysics, is a very similar subject to the race course. So we could be talking a lot more million tons.
Yeah, remind me again, there's also a decision to mine by, is it Prospector as well? I mean, what I'm trying to weigh up which one's more likely to happen before the other. Is it the Ango buyback potentially?
My wish list really is that the two are the same anyway, that Racecourse, that conceptual open pit, when we will model it at the same time as we model the resource. I'm rather hoping that kicks us over the 2 million and it is a big enough subject to be mined. So you've met your goal with, you know, we've got two for one. And remember, if you look at Ascot is 1.5 kilometers away. So it would never be the same pit. It'd be an all new enterprise. It would, you'd never access it from underground, too far away. So in actual fact, Ascot would lead to another project, another porphyry project with a concentrator located to treat both porphyries.
Ascot's a new discovery. This is the whole.
They're all under the Anglo agreement. That's right. And and I know what the market's a little bit worried about. I mean, I should like to put one or two myths to sleep. Really, one is that you'll never sell anything but a measured resource. I read sometimes on the bulletin board. Well, if you only sold a measured resource, you'd never sell a mine. By the time it's measured, you've spent a lot more money than most juniors could ever afford. And I sold a mine in Kalambila, which had only got a loosely inferred resource in 2010 for 265 million. And the quest for copper was nowhere near as big in 2010 as it is now. So as soon as the majors, well, first of all, we've got to deal with Anglo. As soon as they're satisfied that there's a, you know, with enveloped, if you like, circled 2 million, they will be very happy. So we've fired a lot of holes into Racecourse. So there's hopefully a 2 million tons. We'll find out when we finish the modelling. And Racecourse will ensure that we get three or four points, which means four or five boreholes, I suppose, even three boreholes if we're very lucky, to say that there's your other porphyry, gentlemen.
there's the geophysics. The geophysics works. It's not shale. It's not banded ironstone. It's not graphite. It's copper. And so instead of being confined to race course, there you are. You've got another big porphyry with a very big system. And we don't, and we won't prove it up. So those people who think that finding a, you know, subscribers to our websites, to our bulletin boards, who think that it's going to be the death of the thousand lashes, why we spend another 2 years proving up Ascot, we don't need to. We need to verify that Ascot has got continuity on strike and what sort of dip it's got and how it, you know, what sort of grades it's got. So really, you know, by the time we get to April, I suppose, late March, April, we should have modelled this thing in a perfect world. We'll have more than 2 million tonnes of copper and an open pit, which we can start getting into engineering design. And we'll have an Ascot, which shows that, yeah, there's another porphyry as well. So if you decide, Mr. Anglo, how much you know you want to ascribe to it. So both are in the same equation when it comes to the decision time.
So, Colin, Extract as a whole, okay, Extract Resources, is not just about Australia. Obviously, you've got these African assets, and you have assets that are producing EBITDA from this time on, no?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, where we're at now is that Mozambique, we'll be putting our quarterly gold results out early in January. We've got the Guy Fawkes underground mine. We've got a small surface mine at Boa Esperanza. And we have the other alluvials. I keep saying to them, and you know, shareholders are getting pretty agitated with me, but the Fairbride project is coming on very, very, very well indeed. And we're expecting to get that going in the not too distant future, certainly in the first quarter. That will add a lot of revenue and a lot of ounces. You know, we're looking at maybe anywhere between 90 and 120 kilos a month, and 23% of that will be ours. So we've got our own alluvial production. That's good. We've got our own hard rock mining. That is good. We're doing quite well with Boa Esperanza. And we'll have Fairbride coming in with our Zambian copper. We've got the Chongwe.
I presume, Colin, do you mean 90 to 100 kilograms? Which, how many is that in ounces?
Well, 100 divided by 30 is about 3,000 ounces a month.
Okay, and you're due 23% of that.
23% of that is ours. And of course, we don't subscribe. That's to the OCF level, operating cash flow level. So we haven't had to supply to the capital, and that's ours. That mine should go on for 5 or 6 years. So look at our share price now. That's good enough to sustain our share price. I mean, you know, the gold price goes up, the gold price goes down. But it ought to be worth anywhere between $500,000 and $700,000 per month to us. That alone, despite what we get from the alluvials and the other hard rock. And then we have the Zambian contribution, of course. As I say, Chongwe has started selling copper, and it's selling nice copper too, between 3% and 5%, round picking on site. Eureka will be making its first dispatches shortly, so that will all add to the cash flow.
So if we look at Extract in 12 months' time. Basically, you should have mining operations producing anything upwards of £500,000 a year, a month minimum, in your eyes, and possibly more, and proved up in Australia, and either being bought out in terms of that deal, or somebody comes in with a big JV with you.
Partly. When you look at the angle, when you look at this 2 million ton threshold, the sooner we get there, the better. Because on the one hand, isn't it nice to have a potential buyout? And on the other hand, isn't it a little bit inhibiting to only have one customer? So, you know, it will be good for us when Anglo make up their mind whether or not they want to proceed with this project. If they don't, I think you know, and as Kevin and Phil, you guys know, that if they don't, we open up the whole universe of copper producers. And there is, we won't name names, but there are Australian producers who would dearly like an open pit with 500 million tons, with 20 million ton a year for 25 years as a nice producer. Them, and there's no shortage of Australian companies, let alone international companies, who would really like to look at that. But of course, it's Anglo's choice. It's Anglo's company. Sorry, it's not Anglo's company. It's Anglo's first choice. They've got the power of first choice. And so the sooner we get to that juncture, the better. So I'd like to bring your end of year to mid to June. And by June, hopefully before, we'd have put it all together and presented to them exactly what we think it is. And it could be a decision to mine together with 2 million tonnes. It could be 2 million tonnes on its own, or it could be decision to mine. And then, of course, that clears the space for others. The talk of joint venture before that's happened, Kevin, is quite frankly, let's put yourself in a mining company's position. Would you want to earn into something where another company had got first right of refusal? You essentially join in an auction, and all you're doing is helping extract, but you've got no certainty against the money you put in. So that's very unlikely. If Anglo, on the other hand, decide it's not for them, the world's our oyster. Somebody else might want to buy it. Somebody else might want to stick a big chunk of money in it. But I tell you what, Jen, joint venture is not the way to make money for your shareholders. The best thing is to hang in there as long as you can and then sell. Because the minute you go into a joint venture, you're on their expenditure, you're on their timetable. If the joint venture is badly constructed, you get cash calls, and all of a sudden it becomes the death of the thousand lashes. So it's better to hang in there. You know, there's a lot of talk at the end of last year about me doing a placing, about the company doing a placing first week in January. It's not going to happen. I'm not, you know, with a public company, you never can say never. But you know, we were going to do 15,000 metres. We've done 23,000 metres, and we're still $600,000 under budget. So that program's been very well managed. We've had a lot of metres for our books. We've had 38 holes. They're stopped and gone for Christmas now, so the 37 and 38 are being drilled, and everyone's got a coconut, so as to speak. And you wanted to put us to this time next year, Kevin. I say this time in June, I'm rather open to answer your questions of you know, more than $500,000 a month production dollars, that is. And I'm not, better be better than that, and very much delineated either a mine or alternatively a mine and 2 million tons. Or both. So my target is mid next year. So we've got a lot in front of us. I can't overstress the Ascot discovery just completely revamps the entire situation.
Yeah.
Yes, we might have a pit and 2 million tons concurrent, but certainly all our bets have been edged by the discovery of Ascot. The 2 million tons now isn't a bite your fingernail situation.
I mean, let's just start with your proven track record of the Kalambila project that you can reciprocate that for the shareholders here, right?
Oh, I'd love to. You know, we've got some great shareholders and got a great bulletin board, got some very good contributors to that bulletin board. They've lived the journey with us. It's not been roller. I was going to say it's been roller coaster. It hasn't, but we've got that maturity on our bulletin boards that know you're not looking for the 2% to come in. You're looking for very much of the same and thick and lots of it. And so we've got a very, very mature bulletin board who occasionally have a good bang at one another if they're looking at things from a different angle. But they do understand. They want to understand. Mm-hmm. And they're part of it. And I, for one, would be very, very happy to give them the reward of a fat check sometime next year.
Sounds good.
Yep, sounds good. And I mean, my take on it, as I've said, is Extract, I think this year will become a revenue producing business. And basically the 41 million market cap that it currently has is pretty much justified by all of that revenue. And the Australian play, if you like, and this 2 million contained copper is going to be a huge fillet to the share price, as I started to talk about it. And then hopefully you are able to land the deal, whoever that may be with, in the next period of time. So it's one of the reasons why we've chosen this stock as one of the stocks of 2022, because we see the value's already there in the other assets and possibly even undervalued in those assets alone. And then you've got Australia to add on the top, race course, and all the various things that are happening there, which is extremely exciting and extremely valuable. You know, it could really be immense what could happen.
Colin, we're probably going to have to just stop in a minute because we could literally talk for hours on this, and I'm in danger of my hard drive running out of space, being filling up with the recording. So, I mean, literally could talk for hours to you about this because it's compelling talking. But thanks a lot again, Colin, for coming on and you know, being part of this 12 stocks, one of the top picks for 2022 in Extract. And, you know, just hope you have a great new year and, you know, we can see the markets change in 2022.
Thank you very much. And again, as I've said before, good luck to you both. Happy new year. And can't wait to get stuck into it all.
Yep. Let's get some M&A going and we'll be laughing.
We will. All the best. Thank you.
Cheers, Colin. Bye now.
Yes.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.